Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Azrieli Group conference call. All participants are at present in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, instructions will be given for the question-and-answer session. For operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero. This conference call will be accompanied by a slide presentation. It can be found on Azrieli's site, www.azrieligroup.com, on the Investor Relations page under Presentations, and the final reports can be found on the website as well. I'd like to remind everyone that forward-looking statements for the respected company's business, financial condition, and results of its operations are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those contemplated. With us on the line today are Mr. Eyal Henkin, CEO, and Ms. Irit Sekler-Filosof, CFO. Mr. Henkin, would you like to begin?
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining Azrieli Group's third quarter conference call for international investors. We're ending the Q3 2021 period with record results in the operating parameters, whether it's FFO, NOI, occupancy, etc. In some of the parameters, the results are the highest that Azrieli Group has presented to date. A couple of things to note. One thing is that it should be kept in mind that our focus throughout COVID was to maintain occupancy rates with tenants that we believe in and to preserve the pre-COVID commercial models. This is one thing we were very focused on. The other thing is that currently we have full occupancy. We're updating tenant mix, and there is a consistent rise in the NOI, which I think, again, COVID is not gone, but up until now, I think it provides a proof of the formula that we're working with. I would like to go about and to reflect some macro indications of the Israeli economy. First thing, growth in Israeli economy is strong, mainly thanks to the high-tech industry, which affects all of the circles of its service providers. And of course, first and foremost, the employees, which then reflected in their spendings and its high spendings, high capital. This is one thing. Second thing, the GDP grew by 5.9% in Israel compared with Q3 2020, and by 2.4% compared with the previous quarter. Personal consumption expenditure grew by 12.7% compared with the previous quarter. And according to the IMF's growth forecasts, is that the Israeli economy will grow by 70.1%. This is from October. 7.1%, this forecast is from October, 7.1% in 2021, compared to OECD countries, 5.2%, compared to EU countries, 5.1%. And the projections for 2022 in Israel is growth of 3.2%, compared to 1.6% in OECD countries, and compared to 1.5% in the EU countries. Today we will review all the segments, but I will begin with the data centers segment. Some words about strategy and the market. Data centers market is considered one of the fastest growing industries in the world. If you look at US REIT prices in the market, they are at all-time high on figures. In recent week, there were some M&A acquisition globally. CoreSight, CyrusOne, in August there was QTS. Altogether are almost $35 billion worth acquisitions, which is a number. That is for big platforms in which the prices reflect high multipliers. What strengthened our thinking that the prices and the fact that the prices we acquired, both Compass and Green Mountain, which are smaller platforms with a very high growth projection, the prices we paid are really attractive. I think this market is a good fit for Azrieli, and let me demonstrate with a couple of points. One, it's a pure income-producing real estate. We look at it as pure real estate. Instead of a building with workers or R&D people of Amazon, Facebook, Google, whatever, you have servers working in your premises. It's a real estate market with 35% annual growth. It's a high yield on cost in a high development market. I will reflect it in a minute. It's a market which is driven by the huge growth of the cloud, 5G, streaming, gaming, crypto, AI, autonomous vehicles, HPC storage, et cetera. It's a super strong customers market, particularly Microsoft, Amazon, Google, Oracle, IBM, Salesforce, Netflix, Uber, others. These are challenging customers, on the other hand, in terms of financial solvency, the number one markets in the world, customers in the world. It's a very long and very sticky contracts. Once you have this hyperscaler in your premises, they are with you for a long time. It's a market characterized by significant development in the enterprise, from site selection to engineering, zoning, permitting, and development with critical time to market capabilities. This fits exactly like a glove to Azrieli. I remind you that during COVID-19, we had more than three huge projects that we delivered either on time or before time, within budget or lower than budget. This is something we know how to cope with, and we have the expertise. It's an attractive double-digit, as I said before, development margins, which are higher in Europe and EMEA compared to North America. It's a capital-intensive market. For a company like ours with such an LTV, at such a cost of debt, exactly what we're looking for. And it's a really unique selling point or unique advantage for Azrieli. Cost of capital is a material factor, as I indicated just now. It's a market where the prominently growing channel is hyperscale, and this is what we are focusing on, with an exclusive members club of data centers, which are deemed hyperscaler fit, of which only few sign contracts with more than one hyperscaler. Today, we have the three major hyperscalers in hand. It's a global market, once you talk about hyperscalers, with the same customer and the same teams managed from Seattle to Dublin for all the major markets, same culture, same engineering, same commercial contracts, same approach. If you are located in many places on the globe, you have high synergy and high compatibility with these markets, with these customers, and they will approach you. We believe in the data center market, and it will serve as a significant growth engine for the group. As I mentioned, our strategy is to acquire platforms with immense growth potential, whether on tier one markets, but maybe with even more potential in the tier two markets, and to expand from there into the tier one markets. Some points on our strategy. One thing is time to market. We understand that with all these vast acquisition space, if you want to be global, you must go for acquisitions within the coming 18-24 months. And we usually don't buy NOI, we develop NOI. In this case, we think there's no choice but to acquire good platforms. This is one. This is on the strategic level. Time to market on the tactical level, we understand that if you are a player there, you must work speculative on the tactical level, which is site selection, good site selection, buying lands speculatively, where you know you have the indications from the hyperscalers, build a pad ready and all the infrastructure in advance, and be ready to have your merchandise ready once the telephone is coming from these hyperscalers. Just to reflect on how Azrieli works, unlike other entities, Azrieli builds 80% of its real estate speculative, and today we are 99% occupancy. Anything we built during COVID-19 is between 90%-100% full. So we know the space, we know how to manage it, we know how to manage risk, and to execute on opportunities. We decided to start in North America back in 2018. 2019, we entered into Compass, then we bought together with Compass Root. Today, we're 24% hold in Compass. And we chose North America because it's a highly mature, sophisticated market with mature suppliers, regulations, facilities, infrastructure, and even good common practice with the customers. And after 2.5 years, we think that this was the time to go and make acquisitions in the other higher yield markets and to build some synergy. And we looked for a number of platforms in the European continent. Up until recently, we bought into Green Mountain, which I'll reflect in a minute. In North America, we're making strong progress with development. And as I said, we started out exactly 2 years ago, and today we have hyperscaler contracts with almost five times the NOI we've acquired originally the platform. At the same time, as I indicated, we're looking for more platforms in Europe. Europe is a high yield and high growth market with the development yields of 250-500 basis points higher than North America. It is a market that the U.S. players are entering aggressively, but still hyperscalers don't have self-build in this market, and it is an opportunity. It is a market with barriers to entry and local expertise, and this is the reason why we go for M&A when we enter this market. Afterwards, of course, we go for development. We're aiming to buy additional strong platforms, consolidate them under one roof, and proceed to expand from there to other territories and maybe with an IPO at some point of time. After the closing of the acquisition of Green Mountain with the current holding in Compass, the segment accounts for around 12% of the group's operations. Bear in mind that we are considering increasing our holding in Compass, as well as development investments and possibly other M&As in the next few years, which will lead in the future to the segment being more significant at the Azrieli Group. Some points about Green Mountain. We looked at several companies in Europe and deemed Green Mountain an investment in an excellent, high-quality company with hyperscale customers that complement Compass and exceptional development and management capabilities. Investment according to an EV was made on the range of 2.8 billion shekels, including a company debt of 500 million shekels. These days, we're finalizing finance of this deal with almost 1 billion shekels leverage, an additional 700 million shekels as a CapEx facility for future high growth. The transaction was closed in August 2021 and is currently, and in the current statements, it is already a consolidated company. Irit will expand on the effect of Green Mountain's consolidation on the group statements after myself. Green Mountain will be a springboard for development in European countries from Northern Europe, whether it's Germany, the Dutch, etc. Synergy with the other holdings in terms of global presence for hyperscaler is essential, and it provides the synergy for customers worldwide. Some advantages of Norway and Nordic countries. TOC, what we call total cost of ownership, is very low because of electricity costs, which are something like between 15%-25% or 75%-85% lower compared to the major Tier 1 markets in Europe. Lots of government support, whether it's through taxes, ease of doing business, et cetera. It is close to most of the population in Europe. Low latency and high connectivity, and these days, additional four subsea cables are being laid between Norway and the U.K. or Europe. And an important element is the fact that this industry in the Nordics is 100% environmentally friendly energy, which is very important for us, really, and very important for the customers. Some advantages on top of this from Green Mountain. We found a very good and experienced management. It has a significant experience in marketing and relationship with top hyperscaler customers. It has many years of experience in enterprise design, location, and development of land for data centers, and the assets are top quality. Top quality, the assets. Looking at the customers, we're aiming to, you can find the Amazon AWS. Just to reflect on what happened in the recent quarter, they had 39% growth in Q3, 37% growth in Q2, and their cloud accounts for almost 15% of the revenues, but the entire EBIT line of Q3 is only AWS, which is phenomenal. If you look at Microsoft, Microsoft had their revenues in Azure of $17 billion in Q3, which is a rise of 50% compared to the previous quarter. And Azure today accounts for 38% of the operating income, and again, it's growing within the P&L of Microsoft. So this is something which is worth aiming for, real estate, and we are there. Going to other segments, offices. Azrieli currently has a demand for more than 100,000 square meters, which we don't have a supply for. If we had vacant space available, we would quickly lease it in a very good prices. I believe that Azrieli has very strong product, service, and customer loyalty. I will reflect it in a minute. The demand in the market is by far the strongest ever. The offices segment continues to perform very well, and we're signing large lease transactions at high rental prices. One of the main reason is the very strong high-tech industry, with significant financing rounds, exits, companies having available capital, some of which flows into the real estate market to create a good work environment for employees in order to attract talents. There's lots of recruitment, I would call it frantically. It's recruitment of R&D employees in Israel is really on peak levels, above any imagination, and these companies need space for these employees. Some examples of contracts or transactions in offices that I would like to highlight. For example, in Sarona, We had one flow of a startup which went public, SPAC, couple of billion dollars. They had no room to expand. They left the building. They were paying 120 shekels per square meter, and on the spot, it was leased by 175 shekels. In Israeli center, we had just now a customer that we replaced from 93 shekels per square meter to 155. Contract renewal trend continues to be very positive, and I started with product, service, and customer loyalty. I will finish with it on offices. First of all, we think the locations of Israeli are, I would say, the hub of each CBD we are at, whether through accessibility, public transportation, and proximity, and adjacent to other services. And we earn, based on this, customer loyalty. For example, Rapid, which raised $700 million, they were in Sarona. They had some other places that they wanted to expand. They didn't have a space in Sarona. They went back to the Azrieli Center, took 10 floors, 13,000 square meters, in the triangular tower, which I remind you, Bezek was the AT&T of Israel, which moved to another building of ours. And they took another 14,000 square meters in the spiral tower, which is going to be ready by the year 2026. This is one example of loyalty. Another company, SolarEdge, which is traded in Nasdaq, is the, in terms of market cap, is the highest company in Israel, $19 billion market cap. The company was with us in Herzliya Business Park for many years, and now it is continuing with a new 40,000 square meters campus that they chose us to build and lease to them. So these are good examples of customers staying with us and expanding. Going to the malls, there's a sharp rise in all parameters. Occupancy is 99%. Mall footfall and store revenues have been good and growing since reopening on February 21st. Considering the fact that half of the Israelis are traveling overseas compared to regular times, lots of liquidity in the market, it turns out that these guys are buying more in Israel, and partly because of COVID, which reduces activities and expenditure to other than malls, etc. I would add that in terms of online, and we are online and offline, right? But in terms of online, supply chain is difficult, and people are coming to stores, which is very good for the tenants and for us. February 21st through September 2021, compared with the same period in 2019, which was a regular year, store revenues increased by 2.4%, excluding businesses that are closed or worked partially or irregularly. We are taking intensive measures to adjust the mix in Jerusalem, Modi'in, Tel Aviv, and Givatayim. Most of the stores, 60 in total, accounting for about 9% of the NOI, will be reopened in Q1 2022 with a very, I would say, good and accurate mix. Going to senior housing, we're on track big time. We have very strong demand. We have dozens of contracts that were signed in all the senior homes, mainly in Le'avim and Modi'in, the new ones, while Tel Aviv and Ra'anana maintain close to full occupancy. We have very high resident satisfaction with our management during COVID, and we have the best marketing in town, which is word of mouth. We raised our prices by 8% at the beginning of the year, an additional 5% in the middle of the year, i.e. June 2021. In Lehavim, we are finishing Stage A much earlier than we planned, regardless of COVID, with a marketing rate of almost 90%. And now we're going into Phase B, which is additional 110 apartments that we're aiming to launch by mid-2022, which is July 1st. Modi'in is already 98% taken with 95% occupancy. And as I said, Tel Aviv and Ra'anana, one is 96%, the other one is 100% occupancy, and we're building additional two homes that I will reflect in a minute. In terms of development, as you know, Azrieli is about 1,350,000 square meters today, and as we speak, we develop additional 1 million square meters to be operative within the coming 5 to 6 years. Projects completed in 22 are fully leased up, whether it's Lehavim, whether it's Manor, whether it's Town. Margins in these projects, which are under development or ones that we already finalized, margins are higher than 8%. Our recent buildings were, we had margins, double-digit margins, whether it's 10 or 11.5% yield on cost. Debt and leverage, Irit will reflect on this. I would only indicate that in Q3, we made an exceptional debt raising, almost 3.7 billion shekels in two series with long average duration, 11.8 years as a total, and 1.28% linked to the CPI, which is, again, it's phenomenal. I would like to finalize this, my part, with ESG. We are in the process of formulating a broad and significant CSR policy, starting with segment connected and related to real estate, such as green building. The properties we built in recent years are to LEED standard, and most to LEED gold or premium standard. We consider ourselves a nation leading recycling and waste reduction entity. And we already stated on the largest project in Israel in the Israeli center, which will be expanded to our other properties, and aims for a waste reduction target of 50% within the coming 3 years. And we are on it, and we invest in this, and we allocate management and operational and financial resources on this. We're continuing our good corporate governance and ethics policies, for which we are already now rated very highly. Employee-related policy, diverse employment and encouragement of the Israeli economy, I would say through suppliers, even through suppliers. Social initiatives, both at the level of the properties in the local areas and at the HQ level, strengthening and improving volunteering and involvement in the communities in which our properties are located. And of course, for us, it's of course a donation policy. We're improving transparency and information will lead to higher ratings, improved performance and target setting. And we are close to finishing our first ESG corporate social responsibility report, which we expect to release in December of this year. I will now hand over the floor to Irit to review this quarter's financial parameters.
Good afternoon, everyone. The third quarter presents excellent results, as are expressed in all the operating parameters for the quarter. The NOI in the quarter was 428 million shekels, compared with 352 million year-over-year, and 407 million in the same quarter of 2019. The increase of 76 million shekels year-over-year is mainly derived from the retail segment, whose share of the increase amount to 39 million shekels due to the COVID-19 relief and rent waivers in the same quarter of 2020. Approximately 31 million shekels derived from an increase in the office segment, mainly from the completion of the construction of Azrieli Town in Tel Aviv and Azrieli Amanor in Holon, as well as the handover of areas to tenants of the Triangular Tower, who are replacing Bezeq for highest rent. Approximately 6 million shekels derived from an increase in the senior housing segment, mainly due to an increase in the occupancy rates of the homes in Lehavim and Modi'in, and a decrease of approximately 1 million shekels in the U.S. real estate segment, which was derived in its entirety from the decrease in the U.S. dollar exchange rate. The same property NOI present a trend similar to the NOI. In fact, the properties not included in the same property NOI are mainly the Amanor building in Holon, whose construction was completed in October 2020, Azrieli Town, whose construction was completed in December 2020 and which is fully marketed, and the new property on Mikveh Yisrael Street in Tel Aviv, which was purchased in February this year. The company's FFO totaled 357 million shekels in the quarter, compared with 282 million shekels year-over-year, and 321 million shekels in the same quarter of 2019. The increase of 75 million shekels in the FFO year-over-year correlates with the increase in the NOI net of tax expenses, in addition to a significant increase from a senior housing operations, which contributed another 20 million shekels to the FFO disparity between the quarters. At the end of the quarter, the total value of the group's real estate properties was 32 billion shekels. This value includes first-time consolidation of the assets of Green Mountain, a Norwegian data center company in which was acquired full ownership in August 2021. In the quarter, the valuations for the group's real estate properties were not updated, and the impairment in the sum of 13 million shekels mainly derives from purchase tax payments for the purchase of land. From this quarter, the company presents another operating segment in the data center industry, and an annex was added to the financial statements providing an extensive description of all operations. The impact of the results of operations of Green Mountain will be expressed from the first quarter, while Green Mountain's assets and liabilities were included in this report as of September 30, 2021. The company's net debt is 12.6 billion shekels, and it constitutes approximately 32% of the total assets. The said debt includes the bonds offering in July 2021 in the sum of 3.6 billion shekels with an average duration of 11.5 years and average interest rate of approximately 1.28%. The company's average effective interest rate after the said debt raising is approximately 1.5% with an average duration of 6.8 years. The company has 27 billion shekels in unencumbered assets, which constitute 75% of the company's assets, in addition to deposits and cash balance at the end of the quarter of 2.7 billion shekels. The net profit in the quarter totaled 187 million shekels, compared with a profit of 193 million shekels year over year. The decrease is mainly derived from an increase in the financing expenses, which derives from the linkage differences due to the rise in the CPI, net of increase in the NOI. The positive effect of the CPI on the valuation of the properties is not yet expressed in this quarter. The equity attribute to the shareholders totaled 18.5 billion shekels at the end of the quarter, which was after the distribution of a 600 million dividend this year. We will now hold a Q&A session and go back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we'll begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Charles Boissier of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thank you very much for the presentation. Just have two questions to Irit and Yael. On the data center discussion, did you mention a potential IPO? I may have misheard, so apologies if that's the case. But if you have any plans toward that, just to understand maybe a bit more. Second question on the more on the capital allocation more generally. Obviously, your LTV is still very low, and you have a very strong access to the financing market. And I just was wondering, as you look about the acceleration of your investment into data centers and the ongoing pipeline also in Israel, how do you think about the funding? Do you want to lever up a bit more from here, or do you also consider disposals, and where do you anticipate your LTV to be, let's say, in 2-3 years, just looking at that kind of ongoing pipeline and the data center acceleration? Thank you.
Okay, Charles, hi, how are you, and thank you for the questions. Two things. One, we think, I'll start with the second question and then go to the first one. We're considering and checking the possibility of going to extending our growth in this market, together with maybe one or two or maximum three institutionals on a worldwide scale. So we're checking this possibility. It involves structure, governance, capital allocation, etc. But this is definitely something we're we're checking these days. We're being approached by both local and international capital pockets and institutional folks who are keen on entering this space, specifically with an operational company like ours. So you're on the spot, and we're checking it. This is one. If we go with this in such a formula, and there's a high probability that we go there, I suppose our LTV will be between, on a steady state, between 30 to 40%, which we feel comfortable with. And going back to your first question, if somebody or some entities join hands with us and they want to capitalize or liquidate their investments, so for us, it's an option. It's an option to go public with such a platform or to have the option of going to such a platform. We are not exit people. You know, we invest for long term. But if our partners want to have this vehicle, it's something that we would provide. Having said that, we're thinking of a U.S. REIT with the aim of, with the option of having this executed in New York. So I started with the investment vehicle, partners, LTV, and going back to the IPO option, which is only an option for somebody who looks for this.
Very clear. Thank you very much.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Henkin to go ahead with his closing statement, I'd like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available later today on the company's website at www.azrieligroup.com in the Investor Relations section. Mr. Henkin, would you like to make your concluding statement?
Yes, thank you. I would summarize with the fact that we're maintaining and developing, first of all, our core business in Israel. The group is making strong progress in all of the current parameters, from offices through malls to senior housing, in terms of occupancy, NOI, FFO, traffic, and store revenues. Our development pipeline is robust, with around 1 million square meters under construction, and we keep developing it. We strongly believe in and are intensively promoting the data center segment. We think this is the right time in a development high-margin market with massive growth and the world's strongest customers in very long and sticky contracts in a technology-driven world, which is merely accelerating the growth. We will continue to grow after the Green Mountain deal with more acquisitions and extensive development, with a strong trajectory for M&A growth and development growth on the strategic international level within the coming 24 months. This is, as I said, alongside intensive development at local level, reflecting our hyperscale customers' demand. I would like to thank you for listening. Stay healthy and have a good day. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This concludes the Azrieli Group conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.